Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A lawsuit from the governor of Illinois and mayor of Chicago describes President Trump's plan to send federal troops to Chicago as, quote, advances in his long-declared war on Chicago. The suit says they're unlawful and dangerous, but White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says
the president wants to help these local leaders who have been completely ineffective in securing their own cities.
The White House also will appeal the order that blocks the president from sending federal troops from California to Portland, Oregon. The Senate returns this afternoon, but an end to the government shutdown appears unlikely because the funding measure up for a vote does not include the Democratic demands of restored Medicaid or extending insurance subsidies. Indirect talks are underway in Egypt with a goal of ending the fighting between Israel and Hamas. A U.S. delegation's there. And the Supreme Court's new term began today. The justices declined to consider an appeal from Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend. This is ABC News.
Mad City. Biking through blizzards since forever. 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The biggest story in Madison over the weekend was a shooting outside a frat house. It happened late Friday night. Madison police say there was a fight outside a house on Langdon Street that involved about 20 people. An 18-year-old was shot and taken to the hospital. Police say they'll be okay. On top of that, another person was hurt. Madison police say they arrested an 18-year-old. The Daily Cardinal reports they're not connected to the university. And according to the State Journal, the two groups that got in the fight did not know one another beforehand. The Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity confirmed on Instagram that it happened outside their house. They say, quote, Madison is known to be a fun, vibrant, and safe city, and we are certain that alumni and current students alike want to keep it that way, end quote. Meanwhile, Madison police seize more than 100 fake IDs at a bar near campus. Police say the community policing team did a check at a tavern in the 600 block of State Street, and they ended up citing 8 people for underage drinking and confiscating 137 fake IDs. Some students were frustrated and called it a trap. The Daily Cardinal reports Madison police say they want to move away from bar raids and want to do more checks like this instead. The student paper reports police allowed underage bar patrons to give up their fake IDs and avoid a citation. And our first supermoon of the year is tonight. They happen when the moon's orbit is at its closest point to Earth, making it look bigger than normal. October's full moon is called the harvest moon. The Old Farmer's Almanac says it'll be fullest and brightest just before 11 o'clock tonight. The next two full moons in November and December will be considered supermoons as well. And 28 years ago today, the Rolling Stones took over Camp Randall. 27,000 people went at about $40 a ticket. That was actually the final concert there for decades until Morgan Wallen and Coldplay revived the tradition this summer. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost 3 in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
We're going to need a good 3 days. He told me to, but after watching him, I think it's 3 for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies and showers developing into your Monday afternoon. A northwest breeze, highs in the upper 60s. Shower and thunderstorm chances winding down tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 40s. Skies turning sunny on Tuesday. Right now, it's 61.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
WMDX Madison, where biking in the snow is a personality trait.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday. Back to work and back to school. October 6, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the World Headquarters, downtown Madison, at the crossroads of State Street and Fairchild. On an overcast day, finally, Zommers, feels more like fall.
Finally, and I'm very grateful for it.
You're wearing long pants today.
I am, and it's nice. I like to be able to wear pants if I so choose.
Well, yes, we appreciate that. Beautiful weekend in Wisconsin. Warm weather, great opportunities to be out and about. I'm going to wait till hour two. I'll tell you more about my weekend. Very humbled, very honored. Very nice weekend back in Richland Center. It was a big weekend. The UW Richland Alumni Association had their gathering, which I was a part of. More of that later. It was also Richland, my alma mater, Richland Center High School homecoming, and it was the Center Color Fest, formerly known as the Center Color Fiesta, the big Canyon of Lights parade. And it was the open house of Oakwood Fruit Farm, one of our great Ooh. Sponsors here at Civic Media. And I went up there. More on this later. I brought you back, Zommers, an apple, as well as one for Luke Mathers and myself here. They have a new varietal they're carrying at Oakwood Fruit Farm. Learned all about it from Steve Lewis, one of the owners up there at Oakwood. And it's absolutely fantastic, and more. It's called Rave, the apple.
Rave,
the Rave apple, also known as First Kiss. How about that?
Spicy.
So yeah, well, and we're going to talk more about that with our guest here. We continue our Mondays with Matt Nair segment coming up at 2:35 today. Our friend and colleague and co-host of Matt Nair on Air, the one, the only, the legendary Jane Matt Nair, is going to be here. We'll talk. What is Jane? Is she an orchard kind of person in the fall? And if so, what are some of her favorite activities? Also going to talk about big story we covered last week. Continues this military raid. I'm not sure what else you would call it, at an apartment complex on the south side of Chicago, and the lack of continuing ongoing coverage on the national scene. We talked about the great local reporting by ABC Channel 7 in Chicago, and now we're going to maybe play a clip of this later on. New reporting from CBS Local Channel in Chicago. But the national news media continues to either just not talk about it or downplay it. We'll get Jane's thoughts on that. And also going to find out where Jane Matt Nair was back in 1982 as she was working in Milwaukee Media. and what the vibe was in the city of Milwaukee, because that's where we're going to start today. Oh, by the way, we have a What's Worse in hour number two. And we're going to tell you some winners of our green and gold text to win contest that wrapped up on Friday. But I want to start, if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and the like, you see that I am decked out in my October Baseball Brew Crew postseason t-shirt. Got the crew hat on. And yes, the number 8 Bob Uecker jersey. Because baseball is a very traditional, suspicious, superstitious sport. And so I thought, well, we did this on Friday, and the crew not just won, but they got a huge win over the Cubs on Saturday. And so I'm like, well, you got to repeat that. The Brewers play game 2 of the National League Divisional Series tonight in Milwaukee at AmFam Field. Broadcast starts at 7:30 on many of our stations across Civic Media. First pitch from AmFam Field just after 8 o'clock local time in Milwaukee. You can hear it live over the air on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and on WBZH in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin. Remember, we can't stream it because Major League Baseball owns these streaming rights, but you can hear it live over the air. What a game it was on Saturday. I had this event for the UW-Richland Alumni Foundation on late into the morning, Saturday and early afternoon. So we didn't get back to Mom's house until into the second inning. And I turn it on, and there's the crew up 8-1.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck happened? It was a pounding by the Brewers on the Cubs. What a way to start this best of 5 game series. As we said, that very important game number 2 coming up tonight. Want to play you a little audio, catch you up, courtesy of our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who is there, gave some great live reporting during the game over his social media and continues to do yeoman's work for this network in bringing you some of the best cuts around. This is former Milwaukee Brewer manager Craig Counsell, now the manager for the Chicago Cubs, on the first loss of the Cubbies.
Craig, obviously it's one loss and not more than one loss, but just given how it went, does it change your view of the series at all?
Well, I mean, we're down 1-0. Nothing else changes besides that. It's 1-0. I don't think, I'm not sure we'd manage the game differently on Monday, up 1-0, down 1-0. So it I'm not sure it does. We made it harder for ourselves. We got to win 3 out of 4 now. They got to win 2 out of 4. That's it.
Manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell. Then he was asked about his clubhouse's reaction, how the Cubs handled this devastating loss in game. I'm sorry I'm chuckling, but I get a big kick out of this, you understand, as a Brewers fan. Here's Counsell on the clubhouse reaction to the loss on Saturday.
You know, look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us. So, and it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but sometimes, a close game could have cost us some pitching type stuff too. So we lost, you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
Craig Counsell after the loss by the Cubs on Saturday. Zobrist, did you get a chance to listen or watch any of the game on Saturday?
I was watching it. I watched the whole thing on, I think, TNT is what it was on.
Yes, on TNT.
Which, let me tell you, I should have muted it and put on the radio as the audio, because they were making
the anti-Brewers.
They were also making inaccurate announcements. They'd be like, all right, it's bottom of this inning. The score is 5-1. And they're like, no, it's 8-1. Like, how are you 3 behind? The game was great, though.
The game was great. I don't think the television crew for TNT, baseball is not their main action.
I believe that is the case, yeah.
It was fantastic. The only bad thing, if you want to say a concerning thing for the Brewers, really, on Saturday, was Jackson Churio. Correct me if I'm wrong, Zomer. It's like Jackson Churio had 3 hits by the second or third inning. And
well, he just had to walk off.
Set a record and got another hit, his third hit, I think it was. And he In the first inning, he rounded, I think, second base or first base and kind of had a weird tweak in his in the way he was running, and that may have affected his hamstring. If you remember, he sat out for about a month during the regular season. Churio did with a hamstring injury, and those, they call it soft tissue injuries, can be a real bear to recover from. But he did, came back, and then he got this third hit, I think it was, and he ran it out, was safe at first base, but came up a little gimpy, and Murph and the athletic trainer came out and checked on him, and you could read Churio's lips, and he said, I'm fine. Well, they took him out anyway, and they went in and did an MRI. Was pretty nervous after the game. It sounded like Murph used the word, I believe, this could, keyword could, be devastating for him. But it turns out that for the MRI, and Clemens had reporting on this, that as of yesterday, Churio was in uniform and doing some light base running. And now here today, here's manager of the Brewers, Pat Murphy, updating us on Jackson Churio.
The MRI came back, and we still, it's inconclusive, and it's not a serious hamstring strain, but it's not necessarily something that won't limit him. So we're going to kind of see how he feels. He's going to go through some testing, and if he feels anything, we're going to shut it down.
Pat Murphy on, I think that's the right approach. You try, but you don't want to. I think it's better to use him sparingly, especially in today's game, if at all, and let him recoup a little bit. You don't want to tear the thing or injure it to the point where he can't play at all for the rest of the postseason. So look, I mean, they did really well. I mean, maybe not as well without Churio, but they found a way to win without him. So
yeah.
But certainly concerning for the Brewers.
Definitely. But I would much rather see him later in the season than see him a little bit today and then not at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Terry in Wausau listening to WXCO. By the way, we're going to be doing the show next week from beautiful WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. They're having a big open house on Thursday. We're going to broadcast the show live from WXCO in Wausau. So come down and see us. More on that later. Terry, listening up there in Wausau, says it was on TBS. I think it was the TBS crew, but boy, unless... I was watching it on YouTube, but I thought it came across on TNT on my channel.
So what
it's all part of Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah, what I remember seeing and hearing, it's had the TNT logo on the bug, the score bug in the corner. But when they were talking, they were saying, "Oh, TBS." Yeah.
It's all a big conglomerate. But thank you, Terry, for keeping me honest. I appreciate that. Here's Pat Murphy again talking about the pitching for today. Quinn Priester had been scheduled, but here's Murph saying who's going to go to the mound for the crew today.
Murph, what are your pitching plans?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
Keep it cagey, Murph is. I love that. Confusing Craig Counsell a little bit. Keeping him off guard, off kilter. So it's Aaron Ashby on the mound tonight for the crew again. Pregame on many of our fine stations gets underway at 7:30. First pitch from AmFam just after 8 o'clock. Cannot wait. It's going to be fantastic. And we need some good news in these times. We need a distraction from what can be a little overwhelming news and something that brings us together. And I was in Richland County a lot this weekend, spent a little time here in Madison on Friday night. People are pumped. I walked by, got some Wonder State coffee this morning on the square. I'm wearing this shirt, my October Baseball Brew Crew shirt, and the construction guys working on the new historical center up here on the square, where the guys yells out, "Let's go, Brewers!" Yeah, so I had my hands full, so I couldn't clap. Yeah.
Just like I just did right now.
But yeah, but people are excited. People are into it, and I'm time later, we'll play this clip I've got of. The Brewers organization went up to several of the players before the game Saturday and said, "Hey, what's the vibe?" And they all answered it. And they seem pretty loose in a good way. Not a cocky way, but just like, "Hey, we got this." And I think that was one of the biggest concerns coming into Saturday's game. Were they going to be tense? Were they going to be too tight, too wound too tight? But boy, they came out loose, ready to go, and ready to hit. Pat Murphy was asked another question at the post-game press conference on Saturday. Mike Clemens was there. We're going to play this for you. You're not going to want to miss it because he uses one of my favorite expressions, part of which had to be bleeped out We'll play it for you after this. Pat Murphy with some censored material on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WMDX Madison, where biking in the snow is a personality trait.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Come see what's cheer a superstar. Be a believer in Brewer Fever. It's fun to join in the cheering. Stomp your feet, clap your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands.
That's right. Catch it. It's Brewer Fever. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Song made famous back in 1982. When the Brewers made that historic World Series run, came up just a bit outside. By the way, that great film, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, our friends Kelly Collins, Sean Hannish, Paul Jaconi Berry, fantastic film, still available, and available at new places, including Tubi. If you watch stream on Tubi, it's available on there now. In addition to Roku and the Roku channel, you can either rent it or buy it on Apple TV, Amazon Prime, and of course the DVD. If you haven't seen it yet, watch it, because it's, and we're going to ask Jane Matinair, our friend and colleague of a co-host of Matinair on Air after 2:30, because she was working in the Milwaukee market on radio in 1982. Going to ask her, I think I shouldn't say that. I think she was in the Milwaukee market, but we'll ask her what the vibe was in the media and otherwise. I have not felt, even though I know the Brewers went to the NCLS in 2018, and I was a big follower of that, lost game 7, of course, to the Dodgers. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. For me, I think it's just the buy-in of the players and the fact there are so many of, as they call themselves, average Joes on this team, it makes it more exciting than
ours. For me too, and I've said it multiple times, I'll say it again, it's the the attitude of all the players and the whole team and Murphy and everybody is just, you know, we're going to do our best. We're going to take ourselves seriously. We got this, but not in a cocky way.
Yeah.
And, you know, honest and reflective the whole way through. Like, yep, that wasn't my best. Here's how I can fix it tomorrow.
Yeah. No, they the Ted Lasso thing, like have a memory of a goldfish.
Yep. Yeah.
Just be a goldfish. All right. So here's again, our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Nobody's covering this run by the Brewers better than our own Mike Clemens. We're so fortunate to have him. He brings us a cut. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, after the game on Saturday, the reporter asked him, I'm sure it was Murphy or Clemens or somebody else, asks him, Murphy, about the handshake and why he doesn't do it and what's going on here. This is beautiful, golden, as they say. Here's the interview, or part of this interview from Saturday of Pat Murphy.
Murph, when they do the pregame chalk lineups, why don't you shake your players' hands?
When we do the pregame...
You line up on the first baseline.
Yeah.
All the players come running down, they give their teammates high fives, and then you stare Blake Perkins in the eye and...
Don't shake his hand.
Don't shake his hand. Why do you do that?
It's tradition. You know, it's been a tradition. I've done it for 10 years now. Whenever we've had introductions, I just think it's... I call it happy horse manure. You know what I mean? It's a bunch of happy horse... Sounds better when I use the other word, but I'm not going to use it because I don't use that kind of language, public setting. But it's just like a lot of happy horse. You know what I mean? Like you just keep, we got a lot of this, you know, and then you go down the line, shake their hands, and then they go warm up, and then they come in the dugout and you shake their hands and you do some crazy handshake with them. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this is a lot of happy horse. Let's play the game. And it's kind of tradition. And then if you remember way back, I don't know what year, Arcia like punched me really hard in the chest, almost knocked me down. Yelly's kind of doing that, but he knows it. Yelly's been here since then. So some players like Vaughn was like so sincere, he didn't know it. Some guys forget, but yes, I never go down and shake their hands. I just go right to the line. I didn't know you noticed. I didn't think anybody noticed.
That's
see,
so good.
Yet another reason I love Pat Murphy. Because he's not going to participate in that happy horse
hockey
stuff.
He tried so hard to not say it.
It's one of my favorite terms to describe just, you know, ridiculousness. It's just a bunch of horse. Anyway, I thought that was great.
I think it's especially great because the first time he paused so long.
Right.
And then he was trying so hard. He's like, I'm not going to say that. I don't say it in public. And then he just said it twice.
Because it doesn't have the same effect
if
you don't use the full word. Anyway, again, the crew playing tonight. Pregame show at 7:30 across many of our stations. First pitch that's after 8 o'clock. We'll ask Jay Mattinari here in a few minutes where she was back in 1982, whether she was in the industry, where she was working, and get her memories on that. And more serious news of the day as well. Terry in Cross Plains, listening on WMDX off the text line, says, Todd, I walked past a lady with a Cubs shirt on and told her good luck tonight. And she waved at me. And I said, but no, not really. Now, I don't know. We have all the details here. Did she give you a one-fingered wave back, Terry? Is that why you got snarky with her? Because there's no reason to amp this up. I mean, we can be pleasant to each other, you know, unless she was one-finger waving him.
Right.
So I'm not sure we know the full details on that. Alice in Cudahy. Now, this is beautiful. She sends us on this is her front door. And she has a Brewers jersey on, number 15 there. And this is fantastic. It's Cecil Cooper's jersey. And Cecil Cooper is throwing out one of the first pitches tonight, I believe, along with Bob Uecker Jr. And there was one other player escaping my memory right now. But that's fantastic. Allison Cudahy, listening to us on WAUK, has got that. And also, she sends us a picture of herself in a really cool World Series 1982 bucket hat.
That's great. That's
How
great.
About that? Alice, thank you so much for your listenership and beautiful Cudahy on WAUK. And way to represent and get ready for Brewer Fever tonight on many of our fine stations. So exciting. Brewers Fever, catch it. Little farm news from Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, and then come on back. You're not going to want to miss it. Our own Jane Mattinair. Where was she in 82? What was the vibe like? And also, a little more serious news on the national news, ignoring the truth of what's going on in this country. Jane Matner is next. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Madison, Wisconsin. More lakes, more bikes, better radio. WMDX. Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
Harvest season can take more than a toll on a physical body. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. This is Rural Mental Health Week, and we're drawing attention to some of the stories that farmers are sharing on things like social media. That's up next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers do battle with Mother Nature every day. They can't control commodity prices. And just like you and I, they have family. Josh and Liz Steiner are first-generation dairy farmers in Monroe in Greene County. 21 years ago, they lost a child that changed their world entirely. Today, Josh and Liz are reminding farmers that it's important you talk about some of those challenges you face, not just with your family members, but with those outside your circle.
And I encourage people to, I call it de-stressitizing, but you've got to get away from the problem for a while, whether it's a mini vacation or just a daycation with the family or some buddies, or, you know, go out some night to eat with your spouse or your friends, or you got to get away to not think about everything at home, I think, is the number one thing. And I kind of stress that.
Josh Steiner, along with his wife, Liz, first-generation dairy farmers in Greene County that are now using social media as a way to connect with others that face challenges while farming. They're using TikTok as one of their platforms. Farm Talk is a community, they say, that helps to bring other challenged farm families together to share some of the weight.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation,
innovation,
that's BioVet.
And you might want to start shopping for that Thanksgiving turkey a little earlier this year. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Market Intel series says economic factors like disease challenges as well as high-path avian influenza have driven wholesale turkey prices up about 40%. That's a look at food news on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies and showers developing into your Monday afternoon. A northwest breeze, highs in the upper 60s. Shower and thunderstorm chances winding down tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 40s. Skies turning sunny on Tuesday. Currently 59 degrees.
The John and Gordy Show.
And this is the War Ravaged Portland. And let me just read the letter.
My dearest Suzanne. We are a city under siege. The Antifa forces have our city surrounded. If all is lost, you'll find me at Whole Foods drinking kombucha. Forever yours, my darling.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Tuesday morning, Liz Johnston from Serenity Pet Spa joins us talking about how to stop your pets from shedding so much.
And listen to the storybook, John and Gordy's Let's Go Back to Cursive Handbook on Facebook.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Live from the stages of Milwaukee Riverside Theater, a starring role by our own Jane Matinere in Phantom of the Opera. Welcome back.
Well done, Mr. Zommers. Wow, that's great.
Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, October 6th. Yes, applause for Zommers for dialing up a little Phantom of the Opera. For those watching on the stream on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, Twix, whichever you want to call it, Jane from A Lovely Home has a lovely candelabra behind her. And I said it looks a little Phantom of the Opera-ish. And so that's why Zommers. And, of course, Jane and I are big fans of musicals. So
we are. Yes, we are.
You can hear every morning along with her co-host Greg Bach on Matinere on Air across many of these fine stations of the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 until 11. The one, the only, the legendary Jane Matinere. Jane, how are you?
I am excellent, my friend. How about yourself?
I've got Brewer fever. As you can see, I got my Euchre jersey up. I got my October baseball shirt, my hat on. I'm set to go. I have not felt this way since 82 when the Brewers went to the World Series, of course, came up just a bit outside, as they say, against the Cardinals. Jane, you are an institution of Southeast Wisconsin. You're a legend in Milwaukee broadcasting and Wisconsin broadcasting, really. Were you on the air? Were you in the media, as they say? And if so, where were you working at when the Brewers did this? Well, they're not to the World Series yet, but well, they got this kind of fever last time.
Well, Todd, in 1982, I hadn't been born yet.
I apologize.
Yes, I still my you know yeah. So no, in I started my career in 1981, but my very first job was in New Ulm, Minnesota, at KNUJ AM radio, and then we launched an FM station. One other person and I launched the rock station of the area, really? KXLP. And so I didn't move until back to Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area, southeastern Wisconsin, until 1984. But
oh, I see. Okay.
In 1982, when I was working at that radio station, I was also involved in the community theater. Mm. And we had rehearsals nights that the Brewers were playing. So the show was The Passion of Dracula. I was Mina. Anyway, that's a completely side thing. I would run back and forth because there was a bar across the street that had the game on, and I would run back and forth, and that was the game that we lost.
Oh, geez.
And that ended it. But I mean, it was great. It was very exciting. I had gone to the Brewers, neighbor's father, Mike Cena, used to take Liz and I to the Brewers games when I was about 9 and 10 at the old County Stadium.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it was fabulous and very exciting, but I was not in Cheeseland at that time.
But you were behind a mic and doing what you always do, which is entertain and inform people. And but that's great. And I just think that, I mean, what's it like? You live in Milwaukee. Can you tell just going to grocery stores and stuff? Is there kind of a vibe? Do you see more people wearing Brewers stuff? Do people seem excited about this living there in the city?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, people have more. I've never seen. Well, and it's nice because everyone's been getting this stuff for Christmas for such a long time. Now you can wear all of the gear that you have accumulated over the years. And no, absolutely, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of hope. If you're like Greg, it's hope tempered by trepidation and fear. And I'm kidding.
No, I was listening. And I said out loud, I'm like, Greg, cheer up. They won the first game.
But there's another game, Todd. There's more games. And I respect that, too. You know, it's not like Brewers fans haven't had their hearts broken before. But it's wonderful to see this team get this far and enjoy the experience.
Yeah, it really is. It's something special. Again, you can hear the pregame show starting at 7:30. The first pitch just after 8 o'clock on many of our great stations, including RCE in Richland Center, ISS in Oshkosh, CQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. Over the air, terrestrial broadcasting, as they say. So stay tuned for that, and hopefully we can talk about another win tomorrow. So we shall see. They're taking the train. There's a train going from Milwaukee to Chicago for the Wednesday game at Wrigley. How fun would that be, Jane, to be on that?
That is such a brilliant idea.
It is.
Because anybody who drives the stretch between Milwaukee and Chicago, that stretch of 94, can be very, very, very slow. And I think that's really smart. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be traveling that way rather than drive and just trying to find a place to park.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be fun, and hopefully going to win today and wrap it up maybe at Wrigley on Wednesday. We shall see. We're talking with Jay Matinere, co-host of Matinere on Air every morning from 9 until 11 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane, we were up in, did a couple of shows in Shawnee last week, and we're sitting up there, and it came across my feed. And at first I'm like, really? Is this? And I had to do a little checking. And here, and we spent about 40 minutes last week. What was it, Sommers, on Wednesday's show? I think, yeah, Wednesday's show on this, that the United States Homeland Department of Homeland Security and ICE did this raid on an apartment complex in South Chicago, starting off with a Black Hawk helicopter and then dragging people, some half-clothed, without warrants, breaking in doors, zip-tying children, separating people by the pigment of their skin, many of whom were American citizens. And that morning, as I often do, I watched CBS This Morning, and there was no mention of this. And no mention of it on CNN, and we spent 40 minutes of it on it. I know you and Greg now have talked about it other places on this network, but what is your view of this, Jane, as someone who's been in broadcasting for a long time and you know this industry better than anybody that I've known? What do you make of this lack of national attention versus ABC 7 in Chicago, which is the story that we used, which was phenomenal reporting?
Well, thank goodness that they still have that media outlet in Chicago where they have local reporters on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know as well as I do, Todd, that major mainstream media has been changing for a very, very long time. And broadcast television, specifically CBS, ABC, NBC, depend on advertisers. And the whole advertising model has changed. And we've seen more local outlets get decimated. And now, because so many of our large media companies are owned by big corporations, with people who do seem to be especially friendly with this administration, that's how you control things. Yeah. Controlling information and the information people see, that is crucial and frightening. But I think the media has been letting us down for the last 10 years. I think we have never talked seriously, and Greg and I just talked about this last week. Our current president is not well, mm-hmm. and does not appear coherent very frequently now in public in speeches. And I don't hear that talked about at all. You and I talked about this last week. There is so much information. There are so many stories on a daily basis. The judge's home in South Carolina that was burned to the ground. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And quite frankly, when I first saw that, I had to double check to make sure that the story was not AI generated.
Right.
Because there is so much. There is so much to wade through. But I do think that legacy media has abandoned their responsibilities a long time ago.
And for those that might not have heard, Stephen Miller of the Trump administration came out against a judge in Oregon, I believe, who had a temporary restraining order on President Trump calling up National Guard troops from California to go to Oregon, to Portland. And Stephen Miller came out and started attacking that judge. And hours later, this judge on the East Coast house was burned down.
Well, and the judge on the East Coast had ruled against the Trump administration when they were trying to get a hold of voter records.
Yes.
And she was, they were targeted because of that. Again, we'll
all,
see.
Yeah. Allegedly.
You know, there's a lot of speculation there. And that's another hesitation.
Dangerous.
Oh, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous. And I also think that the level of rhetoric coming from Stephen Miller, now the Democrats are satanic. And
right.
And I mean, the president said in front of a large number of military people over the weekend, they have to get rid of the gnat on their shoulder, which are Democrats.
Yeah. Active duty Navy sailors.
Yes.
And we've never seen that before, Jane, at least in my lifetime, whether I don't care if it was George W. Bush or Barack Obama, Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan. You didn't see our commander in chiefs go before active duty troops and bring in overt partisan politics. It just didn't happen until now.
Until now. And the level of obfuscation, the level of trying to pretend that this is normal. Mm-hmm. I challenge anyone to read a transcript of one of Donald Trump's latest speeches and explain to me what it all means.
Yeah, it's largely a word salad.
It is completely word salad, completely off the top of his head. And the fact that the media has not spent more time and trying to make it normal. It is not normal. It's not none of this is normal.
Let's go ahead. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but name Barry Weiss might not mean a lot to a lot of people, but she has just been named editor-in-chief of CBS News. And she used to be at the Wall Street Journal for a time, the New York Times, but she started this this thing 3 years ago, I think, called The Free Press, an online publication, and Paramount Skydance just bought it for $150 million. Not bad if you can get it, Jane.
That's a good startup.
She is friendly to Trumpism and MAGA, and she has now been put in charge of CBS News. Thoughts?
I think this is actually part of Project 2025, one of the if you want me to get really off the rails here, Seven Mountains Dominionists, and the Seven Mountains to take control over include the media. And I do believe that Peter Thiel and some of these other larger companies are very much a part of controlling as much media as humanly possible in order to control the messaging. Because information is power. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
That's what I was taught.
I think you're right. And when both of us were growing up, whether or not you always agreed or not, I think you tell me whether you agree with this or not, that whether it was the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune, CBS, ABC, there was some sense of a certain guardrails that we're going to play this down the middle. We're not going to be overtly bought out by one side or the other. And those journalistic ethics, Jane, just seem to have disappeared nearly.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. The attempt to make it both side-ism when it is not has destroyed legacy media.
Jane Matt-Nair is going to come back and talk a little bit about what's coming up on their show for this week. And also, is she an orchard person? That burning question will be answered after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Two U.S. Supreme Court cases this term may allow the conservative majority to strike down Voting Rights Act protections of minority voters and one of the few remaining limits to big money campaign spending in federal elections. Louisiana versus Calais, a racial gerrymandering case, returns to the High Court October 15th for additional arguments after initial oral arguments March 24th. Louisiana's black voters won a second majority-minority congressional district under the Voting Rights Act, but a group of, quote, non-African-American individuals appealed the new map, claiming it was discriminatory to them under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas have railed against such minority protections in voting rights, education, and workplaces. Another case, National Republican Senatorial Committee versus Federal Election Commission, attempts to strike down campaign spending limits by party-affiliated groups as a violation of free speech. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate, which can include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. It could open another floodgate of money in our elections. The cases have far-reaching implications for equity in our elections process, and we'll be following both carefully in the coming months. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doesn't matter whether you're driving down I-94, maybe you're traversing Highway 29 or Highway 14 in Southwest Wisconsin every morning from 9 to 11. That's what you're going to feel like when you tune in Jane and Greg on Matt and Air on Air. Going to feel like a little jazz party. You understand? You're going to get some news, going to get some laughs, going to feel better after you listen to Jane and Greg every morning. So tune in for that. The one, the only, incomparable Jane Matinair joins us live from her beautiful home in an undisclosed part of Milwaukee. We're happy to have her here. By the way, Joseph, watching on YouTube, says, Todd and Jane, thank you for highlighting Weiss and the Free Press. They are MAGA dressed up in just asking questions, quote-unquote, drag.
Well, and the other thing that's maddening, quite frankly, are the lack of follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Because they are, I'm sure in some instances, if you ask a follow-up question, you'll never get another question.
Right.
They'll just cut you off, which, again, is not healthy for democracy.
No.
It's not. Questions are not bad things.
And in case you're just joining us, Barry Weiss, who had a career at the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and then started this online publication known as the Free Press about 3 years ago. CBS, or Paramount Skydance, just bought it for $150 million and named Barry Weiss editor-in-chief of CBS News. That's what we're discussing. By the way, Joseph said, just asking questions drag. Have you ever been to a drag show, Jane Matinair?
A long time ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like my my gay card may be revoked at any moment because I'm familiar with the genre and I'm fine with it, but I've never actually been. So maybe that's our next road show. Jane and Todd do a drag show brunch.
That works for me.
Jane and Todd drag brunch. That would be a great show.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That would work.
No drag show brunches, I don't think. But what's coming up this week on Matt Nair on Air?
We do have a busy week tomorrow. Pat Kreitlow is going to be joining us. Also, our friend Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe. Right. We love talking to her. Civic Media's own award-winning journalist, and we call her the genie of just about everything, Terry Barr, is going to be joining us for a slice of Wisconsin, a great little feature she does about really interesting things around the state. Later on this week, Darren Von Ruden is going to join us. He is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association, and I have a feeling we will be talking about tariffs.
I'm sure you will. That's a real thing. I think I heard Pam talk in the Midwest Farm Report this morning. I know you've talked about it. I know Maggie Dawn's talked about it. We've talked about our show. I believe it's National Mental Health Awareness for Rural and Ag Producers here in America. Really, really important. So I love that you bring on Derek Van Ruden because he brings a part of this state that's so important to all of us, really.
Yes.
And I appreciate you guys bringing him on because he's always a great guest. I always learn something when I listen.
Well, and that's what we try to do with our guests. Quite seriously, there are so many things I don't know, Todd. It's embarrassing, which is why we bring on experts who do know. And Darren is just, like you said, he's a terrific guy. We've learned so much about Wisconsin and the industry and how our farmers really get used by all sides.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I thank you for, I think I may have said Derek. Darren is the right name, Todd.
Darren Van Ruden. Darren Von Ruden, yes.
All right, it's 56 minutes past the hour here. Oh, by the way, neither one of us came in as the top dog in the old green and gold text to win contest. I've spoken with Director of Operations Luke Mathers and found out, and you talked about this, and I couldn't, we were in complete agreement. The whole thing was rigged because they gave Hartman two words, and so he beat us both.
And of course he did.
I don't think it was fair.
I mean, I texted you.
I know.
I texted you at the beginning and I said, I'm going to contest this because I am so delighted with how many people were excited.
Exactly.
And entered the contest. It was great. And what Greg and I always learned from it, that's why we went to Butternut.
Right.
And that's how we learned about Butternut. I'd never heard of it before. I loved that it existed. And we took a road trip and went there. Absolutely. So that's one of the great things about the text to win contest that we have.
We can tell you now it's beneficial. Jane teased it on her show. Apparently the grand prize winner has been contacted, and we are pleased to announce that Dennis from Minocqua, listening on WCQM, Jane, Greg, and I have been there, is the big grand prize winner of the green and gold contest. Can we say the words now that the contest is over?
Don't. Let's not.
Don't.
Really?
Don't.
I can't. All right.
Don't.
So
no.
Jane's giving me the look of do not do this while I'm on the air with you. All right. He's going to a game in
football.
November, a football game between Green Bay and Minnesota. That
yep.
I can say.
Yep. All right. That's what
very
he's doing.
Good. Very good. So congratulations to Dennis from Minocqua, the big grand prize winner in our green and gold text win contest. Jane and Greg, we're running through other winners today. We'll do that later as well.
Quick note, you've already gotten two invitations to drag brunches in Wisconsin.
Really? Well, how about that, Jane? That'll be our next big thing. All right, quickly, in the time we have left, are you an orchard person, Jane?
Sure, I will orchard. I love apples. I love apple pie. I mean, a well-done apple pie is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Apple crisp is good. Sure, why not?
Yeah. Well, I was just at Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland County this weekend, one of our fine sponsors here on Civic Media, and was there a customer appreciation weekend. It was packed, and I got myself some Rave apples, better known as First Kiss, kind of a cross between a Honey Crisp and something else. So Zomer and I are going to have those in an hour or two. So
and so do you peel them or do you eat it whole or do you cut it up or
Just bite that apple, baby. Get that crunch, that snap.
Enjoy.
Now we enjoy you, Jane Mattner, every morning from 9 until 11 along Greg Bach, Mattner on air. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you next Monday.
Thank you so much. Take care, Zommers.
Adios.
All right, stay tuned. What's worse? And Todd takes a bite of an apple in hour two on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House's federal troops need to be sent to Chicago to protect federal immigration agents, but the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, says
there is no invasion here. There is no insurrection here. And local and state law enforcement are on the job and managing what they need to.
He and the mayor filed a lawsuit to try to stop the deployment of a federal judge in Oregon over the weekend, blocked the Trump administration from deploying the National Guard to Portland. The government shutdown continues. The Senate expected to vote today on a bill to reopen the government, but it does not include Democratic demands to reverse Medicaid cuts or extend insurance subsidies. The acting CDC director says he's calling on vaccine makers to separate the MMR vaccine into separate shots, echoing a suggestion last month from President Trump that health experts say could be ineffective with no benefit. And indirect talks have begun in Egypt, focusing at ending the Israel-Hamas war. This is ABC News.